To have Dr. Tom and Yada here today is a thrill for me. They are good friends from my past. Yada is a wonderful, wonderful lady. She is, how many titles can I give you? Teacher, speaker, author. She, as she shared last night, she's done just about everything you can do at the church through her time there. But more than all those things, she is also spouse. She is mother of three children who have now grown, and all of them are still in the church, active in the church. And two of them were twins, so she had that experience of raising twins. And one of them, if you know him, was Richard Young. So you know she was put through a lot in those growing up years. But also on top of all that, she is also grandma now as well, as there is the first grandbaby, I think, that's come along. So I expect her transfer of membership any moment now because they do live here in Lincoln. But I'm just so thrilled to have Yada here with us. When I was in Kansas City and all the other pastors left me, Yada came to my rescue and helped me during that time when we were searching for new pastors. So she is, on top of all those things, a partner in ministry, and I'm thrilled to have her here this weekend to share with us. And Yada, I'd like to just pray for you.
Thank you.
As we begin. Father in heaven, thank you again, Lord, that you can use us. Thank you, Lord, for Yada, for the ministry that she has, for the words that you have given to her and she has shared with many people. And Lord, she is here now to share with us. And I know the words that she has have come from you. So I pray now for your spirit to be upon her and to bless her so that she may be a blessing to each of us, so that you, Lord Jesus, will be uplifted and that we will be changed. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yada, again, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Pastor. I really want you to pray for me in a very special way, because the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. And as I am standing before you in your church, I am coveting. I am coveting your pastor and his family. They were our pastoral family, my pastoral family. And now they are here, and I can understand why you wanted him here. But that doesn't take away the fact that I am coveting. I know you are blessed to have him. And I know that the Lord is going to work through him and through you to do wonderful and beautiful things in this community. I already see things happening. I already see God's Spirit at work here. Pastor, thank you so much for thinking of your friend for this weekend. I am going to share things with you that are very close to my heart. Things that we hardly hear about. Things that are no longer in vogue. Maybe they were some time ago. Things that truly make a difference, but have been forgotten. When we think about the Sabbath, there were so many things we used to do in preparation for the Sabbath. There was a physical preparation for the Sabbath. And that kind of has gone. We don't even worry about that. We don't even think about that anymore. But even more important than the physical preparation for the Sabbath, that by that I mean that our house is clean and all that type of thing, that we hardly have time for that anymore. There is this spiritual preparation for the Sabbath. And that we hardly think about. The preparation of our heart before the Sabbath. How do we do it? What does it call for? Let me tell you, it's more than staying away from secular activities. It's more than staying away from secular reading. It's more than leaving our business thoughts at the office. It's more than doing these things that we usually don't do. As a matter of fact, none of these things, I'm not going to read my People magazine, and I'm not going to watch this, or I'm not going to hear that, none of that has anything to do with the spiritual preparation of our heart. Unless we see the Sabbath as the Pharisees saw it. In Matthew 12, verses 9 through 13, this is how the Pharisees saw the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verses 9 through 13. And it says, "Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other." You see, the Pharisees were saying, "You're not doing this, you're not doing that. Ah, but you did this, and you were not supposed to." And maybe Jesus was not ready for the Sabbath. And sometimes I believe that when we can check off all the little squares, then we think we are ready for the Sabbath. And that has nothing to do with the spiritual preparation for the Sabbath. Some years back, I was very excited because I was graduating from college. I was getting my degree in elementary education. I had been wanting to be a teacher since I was 10 years old. Teaching was in my blood. During the summers, I would teach my younger brother. And he was such a neat kid that he would do whatever I told him. And we would have recess, and we would have math, and we would have reading, and we have spelling. And I was 10 years old, and he was 5. But we had school. I just wanted to be a teacher ever so badly. And here was the day. I was graduating and I was getting a degree. But not only that, when they called up my name and you go up and you shake the president's hand and you go back and sit down, I opened up the cover and there was a diploma inside, which meant that I had paid all my tuition. Or else it would have said, "When you finish paying your tuition, then we will give you your diploma." But my diploma was there. I was excited. But not only that, I had a job. I was going to teach 5th grade in the Southern California Conference. So I was excited to have my first class. But not only that, I had a place to live. My parents' home was only a mile away from the school. So why should I look for an apartment? I'm going to live at home. And I had my diploma, my degree. I had work, a 5th grade class. I had a place to live. Everything was perfect. But at the same time, I was sad. I was sad because I was leaving that young man that had captured my heart. So I had mixed feelings, this excitement of at last getting my degree and getting my job and getting everything that I needed. But that young man that I was pretty crazy about, we would be apart. And I remember he told me, "Yara, while we're apart, I am going to write you every single day." I know, this was not email time or texting time, right? This was many, many moons ago. But he promised that he would write me every single week. And then he said, "And I am going to come and visit you on the weekends." I lived for weekends. during the week I would just come back from teaching, and where do you think would be my first stop? Ah, someone knows, the mailbox. And I would go, and let me tell you, he wrote me every single day. Now, I must say, some of the times, it was a little piece of paper with big writing. But he wrote me. On Wednesdays, he would call me up. We wouldn't talk very long, but he would call me up on Wednesdays. And then he would come to visit me at my parents' home on the weekend. I did not want my mother to feel an extra burden because we had guests on the weekend. So I would say, Mommy, I am going to take care of everything. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. You don't have to do anything. I will do it all. I don't want Tom to be a burden on you. And she said, no problem. And of course, if you know me, I'm a very organized person. As I said, on this day, I'm going to do this. And on this day, I'm going to do that. And I had to have everything perfect. My parents used to have a brick walk from the front of the house to the yard. And you know what happens in between bricks? You get blades of grass growing in between. Well, that walk had to be perfect. So on Thursdays, I was on my hands and knees pulling out every single blade because I wanted it just right because he was going to come and visit me. And it was perfect. But now that I've married him, I realize he never paid attention to a thing I did. But I had it. It was perfect. Of course, my parents thought I had lost it. And then I had the day I would clean the bath. I had the day I would do the kitchen. I had the day I would do everything. And my room, my bedroom. See, I would sleep in my brother's bedroom when he would come to visit. So my bedroom was the room that he would use. My bedroom was a shrine to him. Let me try to describe it to you. You walk in the front door, and the first thing you do at the right was my closet. And in that closet was a big poster board, and it said, "My Tom is made of these." And then right smack in the middle, I had a picture of a grand piano because he is a classically trained pianist. And then I had a picture of books that said physics, chemistry, anatomy, books that you would never find in my library. But he was pre-med. So these were courses that he took. So that was part of his life. So I put that there. He was a runner every day. He would run. So I found some running shoes and I pasted it on the poster board. And then I found a can of mushrooms and a picture, I should say, mushrooms coming out of it. And I said, oh, he loves mushrooms. Pasted that there. I found some olives, because he loves olives. Cut it out, pasted it there. And I saw the poster and I thought, well, I think it's done. And I said, no, it's not. I am part of his life. So I took a picture of myself and I put it in the poster right below the piano. So everything was there. The mushrooms, the olives, yada. He always said, I love mushrooms, I'm a mushroom-holic. I love olives, I'm an olive-holic. I love yada, I'm a yada-holic. And not necessarily in that order. And then you would continue walking, and then in the corner you would see a little table. And it had the picture of the first banquet we went to together. And then it had the corsage that he gave me, and it was all wrinkled and whatever, but it was still in the box. And then there was a little framed, it was 1 Corinthians 13 in modern language, and I had it framed, and there it was. And then on my nightstand, there was an 8x10 picture of him because I asked for it. I said, the picture I have of you right now, I need a magnifying glass to look at it. So because he asked me what I wanted as a present for my graduation. I said, I want an 8x10 picture of you. So every morning when I got up, there he was. Everything else was perfect. You could have come to my house and taken a dime, and it would have just bounced off my bed. You could have taken your white glove and just went like this through my furniture, and there would be no dust. It was perfect. And then at night, when I would have to go to sleep, it was a feat. That was the day of the long hair. And I used to have very long hair. And it was a day of the straight look. And I do not have naturally straight hair. So I had to use big size curlers. But I'm talking big size curlers. When my mom would open a Campbell soup can, I would say, Mommy, don't throw it away. I would open the other end and I would wash it perfectly. And those were my curlers. So at night, when I would go to sleep, I would have Campbell soup cans here. Campbell soup cans here. Campbell soup cans here. I looked like someone from another planet. But I was ready. So you know, I could not sleep on my back. I could not sleep on either side. So I slept like this. And my very nice brother would say to me, sleep on my bed. No, no, no. I don't want to be a burden. No, no, come on. Yada, just sleep on my bed. And every once in a while, I say, okay, I'll sleep on your bed. You're so kind. But I did not want the visit to be a burden to anyone. Did I frown? Did I say, why do I have to do this? Man, he's coming to visit me. Why do I have to do this? No, I loved to do it. This was not a burden for me. Why was this not a burden for me? Because the man I loved was coming to see me. Like he promised he would. Every weekend I'm going to be there. And everything had to be perfect. The being that we love has told us that he is coming to spend time with us each seventh day. And sure, all week we may talk about him. We may read about him. We may pray to him. But on the seventh day, he wants a different meeting. He wants a real closeness that we don't have throughout the week. So how do we prepare for that meeting? Do we prepare the way we would for a loved one? For someone who we are dating? Or for someone who we love we have not seen for a long time? How do we prepare? I am going to bring out different points about three different things that we must do in order to prepare spiritually for that meeting that we have with the Lord every day. 7 days. The first thing is that we have to spend time knowing him daily through our Bible study. We must feed ourselves because, you know, salvation is not between me and the pastor and God. Salvation is not between me and the elders and God. It's not, there's no one between me and God. It's only myself and the Lord. So I have to keep complete communion with him. And I cannot say, well, Lord, you know, my pastor gave lousy sermons and so I didn't grow. Because that's not where our salvation is. It's in knowing him. So I have to feed myself. what happens is, after feeding ourselves throughout the whole week, what happens here in the platform on Sabbath morning is just the icing on the cake with the cherry on the top. That's what it is. I remember there was a church I attended many years ago, and there were two ladies. And one lady would come out after the church service saying, "I didn't get anything out of that sermon. That was such a horrible sermon. I don't understand what went on." Then another lady, same church, same pastor, same sermon, same Sabbath, she came out saying, "Wasn't that a blessing? That was such a wonderful sermon." What's the difference? What is it? Heard the same sermon. One is thrilled, the other one is criticizing. After I got to know them, I realized that one would wake up very early in the morning, seeking the Lord, praying for the pastor, praying for his sermon and his message for the next Sabbath, and giving herself completely to the Lord. The other lady hardly had time to do anything, much less study the Bible. So when they came, one was already fed, and the other one didn't have anything and was depending on the pastor to do everything for her. As we study, we get to know him more. And when we get to know him more, we can't help but love him. And when we love him, we cannot wait to be with him. Just like I could not wait for the weekend to be with the man I loved. Because when you love someone, you're excited. You're so excited to spend time with them. The next thing, prayer. We must ask him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We must ask for a Sabbath blessing, because there is a Sabbath blessing. And we must pray for the pastor, because the more we pray for the pastor, the less we criticize him. You know, it is very hard to criticize someone whom you're praying for. So we have not only gone to seek the Lord, we have prayed, and we have prayed for the pastor and for everything else that's going to go on that Sabbath. And then, number three, we make things right. We must make things right. I used to work at a camp. I was a counselor. And every Friday before sunset, the camp director, the girls director, the boys director, and all the ones with the high positions in the camp will come to inspect our cabins to make sure everything was ready for the Sabbath. And I remember getting all my little campers, "Okay, let's fix up our cots, let's do everything." And oh, those girls had the sleeping bags perfect, not one wrinkle. The Bible was right on top of the pillow. All the shoes were lined up perfectly. Their clothes were hanging neatly. Everything was perfect as can be at a camp. And then all the administrators came in, and they were looking at the cabin. And, of course, every girl was standing, already bathed and shiny, wearing their nice little clothes, standing next to their beds, and they looked beautiful. And I remember the girls director standing in the middle of the cabin and saying, "Come here, girls, come here." And they all gathered around her, and I also came. And she said, "We've had a good time this week, haven't we?" They said, "Yes, wonderful." Then she said, "Sabbath, it's almost here. But in order for us to really enjoy the Sabbath and get the blessing from it, we have to make sure that if we have offended someone, that we have to make it right. If you were unkind to someone, you have to ask forgiveness. And if someone was unkind to you and they come, you must forgive them. And when all that is clear, then we can go ahead and be ready for the Sabbath." And then it dawned on me. There are some of us that have gone through years and years without being able to receive a complete Sabbath blessing because we either have not asked forgiveness or have not forgiven. Have you and your spouse ever gone to a social affair? And on your way, you get into a disagreement. And you start bickering in the car. What? What do you mean? You're saying that I said that? How can you say that? Yes, you did. I did not. Yes, you. How can, and you are, maybe that doesn't happen to anyone here. But I know it happens. And you are really upset. You're really going at this. And now you're upset that you have to go to the social function because you really want to let this person have it. And then you get to the house or to the place, you get out of the car, you slam on the car door, and you walk up to the front door, ding dong, and then they open and you go, hi, how are you? So good to see you. Oh, yes. And you go in, oh, let me introduce you to so-and-so. Let me, oh, how do you do? How do you do? And in your mind, you're saying, just wait till we get back to the car. I'm really going to tell him or her. And you know what? We really don't want to be there. And we cannot enjoy it. And it's a front the whole time because we're mad. Our minds are filled with feisty thoughts. But we can come to meet our Lord and Savior and our Creator week after week with our minds filled with our angry, jealous, cheating thoughts, and we expect to receive a Sabbath blessing. Well, we're going to wait around for a long time because we're not going to receive it. Not that the blessing is not there. The blessing is always there. But we will not even recognize it because our minds are filled with things that should not be there. It's like this. If I give you a glass, a tall glass, and it's filled with dirt and rocks and who knows what, and I ask you, can you please fill it up with water? And you take it to the sink. Can you fill it up with water? No, you can't. Some water will try to get in here and will try to get on over here, but you really cannot fill it up because that glass is filled with junk. But if we take all that junk out and we clean it up, can we fill up that glass with nice, cool water? Yes, we can. And that's how it is. We come to church and we're mad at everyone. And then we have anger. And we hear the pastor speak and it's not getting anywhere because we are filled with things that should not be in our heart. But when we have forgiven or we have asked for forgiveness and we come and you say, Lord, fill me, he will. But this is hard. Out of all the things I have said, this is the most difficult one. Why? Because it has to do with our pride. At that point, we have to say, I'm sorry. And it's not easy to say, I'm sorry. It's much easier to go home and criticize and point the finger and mention the awful things that went on at church. That's much easier than going to say, I'm sorry that I have offended you. Then going up to your spouse and saying, I'm sorry that I offended you. Then calling your mother-in-law or father-in-law or whoever, I am sorry. See, that's much more difficult. So we don't do it. Yet we want to receive that Sabbath blessing. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 say the following. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. We must first be reconciled, and then we can come and get that Sabbath blessing. But until that happens, we're not going to be able to even see the Sabbath blessing. When Sabbath arrives after having a week of Bible study and prayer and making all things right and trusting His Holy Spirit to fill us, then our Sabbaths will be different. In Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. This is what it says. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. Do you know what it means by saying your foot from the Sabbath? Do you know what happens if you put your foot on something? What do? We're trampling on it, or we are breaking something. So the Lord is saying, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, take your foot off the Sabbath. Don't trample on it. From doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. We have prepared our hearts. Now we can worship the Lord. Now we can have the blessing that God wants so much to give us. Then we can sing with all our hearts. We can sing the song of don't forget the Sabbath. The Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week the brightest. Of all the week the best. It brings repose from labor. It tells of joy divine. It beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Can we sing that song with all our hearts? Do we actually feel it? Then, there are other things that we have to be careful. There are things that get in our way, preoccupation with secular activities. Let me be very careful how I say this. I think we should all be active in church activities. Okay. I'm very active with my church. But sometimes we can go so much that we do not have that Sabbath blessing. Because as we're sitting here, we're planning everything else. Oh, I've got to talk to that person to do this. I've got to talk to that person. Oh, I've got this and I've got the other. So secular activities, business, sometimes that gets in our way. How active we are at church, that gets in our way. Another thing that gets in our way is how tired we are. It's hard to even concentrate on the sermon or anything because we are so tired. So I told you the three things that we must do to prepare spiritually. I am warning you about secular activities, about church activities, and about how tired we are. All those things get in the way of the blessing that we can receive on the Sabbath. When we take care of those things, then our Sabbath will be different. And just as I long to be with the man I love during the weekends, we will long to come to church and spend time with the Lord the way He wants us to. I don't know. I think some of you have seen that video that's going around, that Baptist minister that found the Sabbath truth from the Bible. His whole congregation is now keeping the Sabbath. And they are so excited about the Sabbath that they start at sunset on Friday. That is what their main worship is. They cannot wait because they are so in love with this new biblical truth. And that's how it should be. When you fall in love, you are excited and you cannot wait to worship. You cannot wait to come to church. You cannot wait to hear that sermon. You cannot wait to see what the Lord is going to do on that day. And here, these folk have just found the Sabbath truth. And they cannot wait till Sabbath morning, Saturday morning. They want to start it right at sunset. And we have had the Sabbath truth forever. And we're going, 9:30 Sabbath school? Something is wrong. Would you be saying, my girlfriend is coming at 9:30? If you are saying that, there is a problem. Or, my fiance told me they were going to come at 9:30. That longing will come from a conscientious weekly preparation of the heart. If I told you right now, you know what? My brother, my younger brother that I used to teach, he's coming. I haven't seen him for 5 years, but he's going to come and visit me. I am so excited. Will you be excited? No. You ain't going to be excited. Why? Because you don't know him. But if you knew him. If you knew how wonderful he is, what a great brother he is, how he wouldn't do anything to help you, if you truly knew him, then you would also be excited. So if week by week we take time to know our Lord and grow to love him, and if we rid ourselves of all negative thoughts by making things right, then our Sabbaths will be rich with meaning. Then we could sing, day of sacred pleasure, his golden hours will spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. I don't know the condition of your heart today. I do hope that this coming week we might ask him if we could become his perfect dwelling place. And that his spirit might fill the empty space. Then flood every room, every part. Sanctify this temple and build his home in our heart. And when all has been settled and our heart is his throne, then what a difference there will be. What a great transformation we will have. What a glorious day the Sabbath will be. May this be our experience.
Our loving Father in heaven, our gracious Lord of the Sabbath, our wonderful friend, thank you again for reminding us what Sabbath is for. It's for that connection with you that you so desperately want and we so desperately need. So Lord, may we never be content in our walk with you. May we always want to thirst and hunger for more of you, dear Jesus, in our hearts. Change us, Lord, so that we can experience that blessing from you and that we may leave this place and be a blessing to another and tell them about this wonderful Savior who wants to be with us. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious gifts. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your Sabbath. Bless us this day and every day until that wonderful day when you come again and we celebrate the Sabbath with you in the kingdom new. In Jesus' name we pray, and all those willing to follow their Lord every step of the way said, amen. In Jesus' name, God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful Sabbath day.